everyone. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular's single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
Doug McIntyre in for John Cobalt on the John Cobalt Show. Look at that. I got through the title the first time without getting it wrong, which is more than John has done. Anyway, happy to have you listening on this Friday, which is... Getaway. There we go. Getaway day for almost everybody. Deborah, have you noticed that the studio here has been tagged by graffiti people?
Yes, I have.
All over this window.
Yeah, it's not that pretty, is it?
No, it's the Conway people. It seems to be anyway. Not that I'm pointing a finger, but...
And you know what? You can't... I think people tried to rub it off and it's permanent.
Oh, it'll be there forever.
Yeah.
I think Shannon had something to do with it too.
Oh, did she? Oh, good. Well, fortunately, you... Eric, you didn't throw her under the bus. She won't...
No,
it won't
deal.
Get back to her because we know she's not listening. So anyway, we're happy to have you. We're here till 4 o'clock and there's tons of stuff to talk about, despite the fact that most of the world is shutting down. You know, when it gets real quiet in the news cycle between Christmas and New Year's, it actually proves that the world could be a much better place if we chose to make it so, because what happens between, of course, Christmas and New Year's is all the troublemakers go to their dacas or their villas or wherever it is they go skiing. And they just shut down the trouble for about 10 days. And then as soon as January 2nd rolls around, they go right back into the mosh pit and start stirring the pot again. But it really just shows you how much of the outrage and the controversy and the outright trouble, murder and mayhem, that we deal with on a daily basis is totally arbitrary or voluntary. Let's put it that way. The people choose to be troublemakers because when it's their downtime, they don't have like a designated assistant who just goes and keeps stirring the pot for them. It's not raining right now here in Burbank, but there's lots of clouds floating around. Obviously, the rain that we've had is starting to move away. And I guess it's supposed to start clearing up by the end of today and through the Christmas weekend and into next week. The reason I'm bringing up rain, because it's a pretty boring subject to talk about, but... something interesting is happening. Finally, believe it or not, finally in California, a place where we routinely have horrific droughts that cause all kinds of problems, we're starting to actually collect the water. Yeah, believe it or not. I saw this in the Los Angeles Daily News this morning that LA County, the headline says it all. LA County captures 717 million gallons of stormwater this week alone. That's in L.A. County. Now, of course, the subhead is that George Gascon has let it go. That's my little George Gascon joke.
But I'm bummed.
By the way, that's enough. Thank you. Eric. Since October 1st, the county has captured roughly 5 billion gallons of stormwater, which is enough to meet the needs of 121,600 people, according to Public Works officials. All right, so that's a nice start. But here's the thing that is really staggering. Even by California goofball standards, this is hard to believe. Gavin Newsom signed an emergency fast-track declaration to try to get this giant reservoir about 70 miles north of Sacramento built as fast as possible. Anybody want to take a guess of when the last time the state of California built a large reservoir for rainwater? Anybody want to take a stab at that one? No, that's not right, Deborah. It wasn't 3 weeks ago.
I couldn't even guess. It's been so long.
It's almost 50 years ago. 1970s was the last time that the state of California went to the well, so to speak, to build a large-scale reservoir. And what's happened during the last almost 50 years? Well, the population's gotten a lot larger, hasn't it? And the weather's gotten hotter, and we've expanded the agribusiness enormously. You know, all of a sudden, people started drinking almond milk and almonds. It takes like 20 gallons of water per almond. I mean, it's so staggering. It's a really water-inefficient crop to grow in a dry place. So we've had a big, huge mushrooming population, which, by the way, over the last 3 years has gotten smaller. We'll get to that later on in the broadcast. But the population of California has gone up enormously since the 1970s. But our water storage capacity has not. And it's been this crazy cycle over and over and over again where we go through a terrible drought. It shuts down, you know, car washes. They tell you to tear up your lawn, to put in either the fake plastic grass or to put in cactuses. All the stuff that comes with droughts, right? And then it rains and we totally forget about it. It's like the rain washes away our collective memory of what the actual impact of the drought has been. For once, we seem to be on top of it. And they're trying to build this massive reservoir. It's a $4.5 billion project. But here's the deal. We're getting sued. Of course we're getting sued. Because the environmental people, they don't want, you know, they're always looking for the Delta smelts. Quote, it's not a negligible amount of water storage that is provided, but it comes with a big cost, says John Buse, or Busey, an attorney for the Center for Biological Diversity, one of the organizations behind the suit. I overpronounced organizations, didn't I?
I noticed that.
I called it an organization.
Yeah. It's all right.
Well, it's okay. I wanted to get all the syllables in there.
You should hear all the things syllables. That I overpronounce or underpronounce.
Well, that's why I can't listen to a podcast of any show I'm on. All I hear is the mistakes.
Yeah.
There are other alternatives that we were really not considering that might achieve some of the same benefits. Now, under the new California Environmental Quality Act, within 270 days, it calls for the courts to alleviate disputes. Newsom signed this. And by the way, we get to give him props for this because the litigation that ties up projects, first of all, makes California a hostile place to do business. It also makes some civic projects impossible to build. And water storage is one of them. The facility, if it gets built, will capture water from the Sacramento River during wet years and store up to 1.5 million acre feet during dry years, enough to meet the annual needs of more than 3 million households. Traditional reservoir sites are planned as an off-stream facility, meaning that water wouldn't be stored directly on the river, thus avoiding having to dam the waterway and disturb the flows of fish and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, it's been since the 1970s since we actually built a large capacity reservoir in the state of California. If this does go through and passes the legal challenges, it's not expected to be completed until 2032, which means maybe you'll be able to take the bullet train to go see it. No, that won't happen. But, I mean, that's some progress. At least we're waking up a little bit, I guess, to that reality that we live in a place where it gets real dry for long periods of time. We have to have reservoirs so that we don't see all that water rush to the sea. So we're getting a little better. What's also happening is the Dodgers have gotten significantly better. And we'll be talking about the Yamamoto signing, as well as the state of Texas stepping up to the plate and saying, okay, you're not going to enforce the border. We're going to enforce the border. And all the usual suspects are unhappy about that. We'll get into that as well. So we got lots to get into.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Doug McIntyre in for John Cobalt here on the John Cobalt Show. Till 4 o'clock later on this hour, Donald Trump was captured on tape, apparently, along with the chairwoman of the GOP, pressuring Michigan election officials. Will it make any difference? Probably not. We'll get into that. And are you gate lice? Have you ever heard the phrase, Deborah, gate lice?
I have not.
It is a reference to those people who start lining up early at the airport to get on their flight. Not the people who jump up the second it lands to get off, but the people who are queuing up to get on the plane before their section is called. The airline people call them gate lice.
Because we're so anxious. We just want to make sure, especially if you don't have a seat, right? A seat assigned to you, and you want to make sure your luggage gets on there.
Oh, you're talking about the Southwest people.
Yeah. I didn't want
to. I don't know who's in a hurry to get into 34B, you know, that middle seat. Anyway, we'll get into that later on. I wanted to go back to a topic that I dined out on for many, many years, which is the broken border situation, the whole illegal immigration issue. And I have stayed away from it for about 7 years because nobody cared. I mean, the bottom line is those of us who cared, we're working ourselves up into a lather with, you know, veins bulging in our necks. And it just, the problem got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And neither party was serious about doing anything about it. Now, we saw illegal border crossings plunge during the Trump administration. There was lots of coverage about the cages that were keeping the families. All right. But the bottom line, the reason that the border crossings plunged during the Trump years was mostly due to the pandemic. Because when the U.S. economy shut down, there was really not a great incentive to come to the U.S. because the money valve was largely being turned off. But obviously, as soon as the pandemic subsided enough so that the economy opened up again, two things happened. Gas prices went through the roof because people started driving again, all over the world, by the way, and people started crossing borders again. Profoundly, and this time with massive waves of people coming from as far away as Venezuela. And it's a horrific journey to walk through Central America into Texas or Arizona or California, presumably, and have to deal with drug cartels and human smugglers and all the crime and the disasters that that represents. But we have done everything humanly possible, except for mail engraved invitations to the poorest portions of our hemisphere. And anybody else who can get to Central or South America can certainly come into the country that way as well. Homeland Security and ICE has referred to those people as OTMs, other than Mexican. That's what they officially document when they catch people coming in from Tunisia or coming in from China or wherever they come from, even Italy in some cases, they designate them as OTMs other than Mexican. And the vast waves of illegal immigration now, numbers that we have never seen before, are largely coming from Venezuela, which is a country in great crisis. Now, for the 10 billionth time, we're going to have this conversation about the border. There might be an actual opportunity to broker a deal on it, because the Democrats and the Republicans are actually talking about this in the House and the Senate with the Biden administration for once facing reality, which is they're going to lose the 2024 election largely because of this issue. It's not the only reason, but it's a major contributing factor. Inflation is another big one. The disastrous exit from Afghanistan. There's a lot of reasons. Joe Biden's sort of Roomba-like exits from the stage when he shuffles off. There's a lot of reasons why President Biden is struggling in the polls. But the border is certainly one of the issues. And it's an issue that has blown up in the Democrats' face. For years, they were able to play the sympathy card because many, many millions of people have family connections and or just basic empathy for immigrants in general. But it's gotten to the point where it's just insane. And it's a direct contributor to homelessness, because when people come into the country illegally, they're not moving to Bel Air. They're not moving to Hidden Hills. They're moving to the most affordable units of housing, and they get jobs, and they price the people currently living in those bare subsistence units to the streets in many cases. It's not the only reason for homelessness, but it's a major contributing factor in an urban center like Southern California that nobody wants to talk about. But meanwhile, Greg Abbott and Ron DeSantis started to ship illegal immigrants into northeastern and midwestern cities like Chicago, obviously New York, infamously that little flight that went to Martha's Vineyard, just a small handful of people, and it made a big, big splash in the papers. But now New York City is an open rebellion, and Democrats are feeling the heat for the first time. And that's why the negotiation is, okay, the administration wants aid for Ukraine to continue, and the Republicans are saying that we want something done about the border. So for once, there's an actual window where it might be politically possible to broker a deal, which is the humanitarian thing to do, because making our poor people, including recently arrived immigrants, compete for housing and jobs and medical services with even poorer people is not a humanitarian position. It is making life harder for the people who are most vulnerable in America and encouraging people to make a perilous journey from their homeland into a place where there is, frankly, not the resources to take care of them.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity, and it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, for product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Doug McIntyre in for John Cobalt here on the John Cobalt Show. And lots to talk about, including gate lice. We'll get into that this hour. And we're also later on this afternoon going to talk with Fred Rogan about the Yamamoto signing for the Dodgers and that Colorado case, the Colorado Supreme Court kicking President Trump off the ballot. We'll get into that issue as well, which is a big mistake, by the way. Meanwhile, I driving over here today, I was stuck in traffic, as one normally is driving anywhere in Southern California. And there's a van in front of me that had a bumper sticker, and I could make out that it was worth reading, but I couldn't quite see it. So I kept trying to dodge, you know, in and out of cars that would cut in front of me so I could get a good look at it. And then I was tailgating for a couple of miles to try to read this. And the guy's bumper sticker, just a black bumper sticker, white letters, it said, "Everyone I don't like drives a Tesla." I do like the fact, you know, this is just the latest version of this, because we go through phases for some reason where there are different cars that we absolutely judge the people who buy those cars. Like, there was a time when it was the Prius, where you couldn't find a Prius that did not have an Obama sticker on it. It's like they made them at the factory with the Obama sticker on the Prius. So, of course, that became a political, you know, hot point, flashpoint. Certainly, I have to admit, and if you're driving a Lincoln Navigator, just dip the radio. Don't change the station, but just turn it down a little bit, because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings here, lose a listener, God forbid. Like, that's ever happened to me in my life. But I've got a gripe about Lincoln Navigators.
What's wrong with them?
They're gargantuan. And it's like, it's a luxury, you know, they make pickup truck versions of these things. It's the silliest vehicle I've ever seen. And I've never seen one that's ever had a single tool in the back of it. Ever. You know, if there was like a toolbox, okay, whatever. But that never happens. And one time, I remember seeing the first time that Humvees became a thing. I'm at the B of A in the parking lot, and there's a Humvee, this enormous thing with a ladder that comes out of it. And there's a woman who came, it looked like my mom when my mom was about 50. And she comes out of the bank and she opens up the hatch and grabs onto a handle and she hurls her handbag into the thing like she was tossing a grenade over a, you know, outside of a trench, you know, in Verdun in World War I. And then she hauls herself into it.
That would be me, because I'm so short.
What in the world is this behemoth vehicle doing anywhere in civilian life? Anyway. So anyway, this guy clearly doesn't like the Tesla people. Quickly, by the way, Richie is producing this show today. Eric, is there any chance he's actually sick?
Yes.
You think so?
Yeah, I know that for a fact.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just a little skeptical that,
last,
you know,
day before Christmas vacation.
Yeah. And me.
It's all you, Doug.
And no. I was just thinking, okay, he's not feeling good. Then you know what that means. It's a real big day for Pornhub.
Oh, my.
Working remotely. But Mondo is here also. So I am overproduced. I have double the staff working today, and I thank both of them. So, as you've heard, because Deborah's had the story, it's been everywhere, the Detroit News reports that they have a copy of an audio tape. They don't say where they got it or how it was recorded or whether it was recorded legally. But it was a phone call on November 17th, 2020, to the Wayne County Board of Canvassers, Monica Palmer and William Hartman, two Republicans. Wayne County is the biggest county in Michigan. It includes the city of Detroit. Right after the election, apparently, Rona McDaniel, who is the chairwoman of the Republican National Committee, and the president of the United States at that time, Donald Trump, are on a call to these two people telling them, don't certify the results of your county. Apparently, the president told the canvassers they would look terrible if they signed the papers to certify the election. The Detroit News, again, goes on to quote them as saying, the president saying, we've got to fight for our country. We can't let these people take our country away from us. And McDaniel is quoted as saying, we will get you attorneys. And then Donald Trump adds, we'll take care of that. So if this is true, and we have to, especially in the age of ChatGPT and AI, I mean, you have to, who knows what kind of shenanigans go on in life. It certainly fits the pattern of behavior that we know has been happening, whether it's Georgia or wherever. But this is not going to look good in court when we get to the issue of election tampering and trying to subvert democracy. The question is not the guilt or innocence of former President Trump on trying to steal the 2020 election. The question is whether it will impact the 2024 election. And I'm not sure it will. Because of the many things that Donald Trump has said, since his political career started in 2015 when he came down the escalator. The truest thing the president ever said was he could fire a gun on Fifth Avenue and it wouldn't cost him a vote. And I think that that's absolutely true because I think people have just hardened their views left and right to the point where the facts really don't matter anymore. And it's sad because I don't know how we're going to hold together. I really don't know how we're supposed to govern a country of a third of a billion people across multiple time zones if we can't reach consensus on pretty much anything. And, you know, consensus is hard to reach under normal circumstances. Try, you know, going around the office and say, do you want to get Panda Express or should we go somewhere else? And then it's a fight that goes on till the next day. Well, you're trying to set public policy and make big decisions on things like how you spend money and whether you ship money to Israel or you ship money to Ukraine or whatever we're talking about, abortion, all these things. Good luck getting agreement on these issues. But it's so much harder when you can't get agreement on basic facts. Like, I wouldn't have hesitated to say, well, this is clearly a smoking gun that's damning. The former president, he's on tape pressuring a county election committee to not certify the results and saying we'll get lawyers for you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right after an election. I mean, it's unbelievable. But now it's totally believable because people don't believe in anything. People just don't trust information that is unpleasing to their ears. It's why I think that a lot of the Biden people have to be in total shock that they're hearing things like Mayor Adams of New York City slam them for not controlling the border because they've just been told over and over and over again that they were on the right page on that issue. And now all of a sudden they're getting this blowback and they didn't expect it at all. They just thought that they could keep, you know, keep waving people in and eventually those people would be amnestized and those people would vote for them. So it's, you know, but there are real consequences to the death of truth. Now, a lot of things are subjective. A lot of things are just a matter of where you stand and personal preference. For instance, it's the classic car crash analogy. If there's a little fender bender and a cop shows up to take a police report and there's a witness on the northeast corner, and that person tells the cop what he saw. And then there's a person on the southwest corner. And that person tells the cop what they saw. And the details are different. The perspective is different. Are they liars? Or did they just simply see it from a different place? And that's most of politics. But now there's no way of arbitrating it if we blow up each other's facts. If we literally repudiate any sense of objective truths from our political discourse, that everything is just a matter of opinion, then we're really in trouble. And we are in trouble for exactly that reason. Steve Bannon, one of the architects of the Trump administration, he famously told Bloomberg News, and this is years ago, he said, "We're not running against the Democrats, we're running against the media. And the way we will defeat them is to flood the zone with BS." Only he didn't say BS. He said bovine feces. How about that? I classed it up. But that's what he said. And if you think about it, that's part of the problem, is because you can put stuff out and the media in the modern age just snaps it up right away. They just snap it up and they run with it. And then it turns out not to be true. So besides perceived and actual biases, then you have constant mistakes, a flood of mistakes that bombard the public and they lose faith in it. You know who did this brilliantly? Bill Clinton, back in the Monica Lewinsky hearings. Remember when he had the big deposition? There was a big deposition and that's where the famous quote, "It depends on what the meaning of is," that came out, if you remember that far back. Well, the deposition was going to be released to the public, the tape of it, on a Monday. But on Friday, the news broke that, oh, Bill Clinton lost his temper. He stormed out of the room shouting expletives. Google it. You'll find the story. And you know what? On Monday, none of that happened. That didn't happen at all. And you know who leaked that story? The Clinton people did. They raised their own negative expectations so that on Monday, when it didn't happen, everybody said, "What was that about? He wasn't in lose control. So you see how manipulative this process can get. You can actually leak your own dirt and it rebounds to your favor. So it's tough being a citizen in modern America because you have to sift through all the stuff that bombards us and decide what's fake and what's real or what's a perspective and what's an opinion versus what's propaganda.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
McIntyre in for John Cobalt on the John Cobalt Show. Next hour, we're going to get into that Colorado decision, the Colorado Supreme Court kicking Donald Trump off the ballot because of his organizing insurrection. And also now the threats that the Republicans will kick Joe Biden off the ballot. You know, actually, now that I think about it, this is a knee-jerk reaction, but that could be the best thing for the country. Just kick both of them off the ballot. We'll start over again. We'll flip the old civic etch-a-sketch and give it a shake, and we'll start over. Anyway, we'll get into that next hour. And later on in the show, we'll talk to Fred Rogan about the Dodgers signing the highly coveted free agent pitcher from Japan, Yamamoto. Meanwhile, let me remind you, if you are looking for a last second Christmas gift for the reader in your life, may I point you in the direction of my novel, Frank Shadow. And Jeff Bezos promised me and asked me to tell you that he will personally deliver the book to your house in time for Christmas if you order today. You just go to the Amazon, and it's also at some good bookstores like Vroman's in Pasadena, Bookstar in Studio City, Pages in Manhattan Beach, etc., David K. Books in Woodland Hills. But you can go to Amazon and get frankshadow.com, and please buy in bulk because I got bills to pay too. Ladies and gentlemen, I did not know that the airline people refer to those of you who line up early to get on the plane as gate lice. I love that. I love that sort of professional insight. Gate lice. And they've actually started to study why do people insist on standing in the line when they're in group six and they're still inviting veterans of the military to join at their leisure and the first class passengers. But apparently it's because we've all been burned so many times because they run out of overhead baggage space that nobody wants to get stuck with their carry-on bag being taken away from them. And then they have to, you know, end up at the horseshoe down there at the luggage belt, hoping their bag made the flight and possibly missing their connecting flights if they have one. This is all self-inflicted wounds because, you know, when they started charging 25 or more bucks a bag, then everybody's dragging everything they own, including kayaks, bows and arrows, and, you know, comfort pheasants. Wasn't that what somebody tried to bring a pheasant on as a service animal?
Yeah.
It was like basically a flying Noah's Ark. You know, this is different from the phenomenon of the people who spring out of their seats before the plane jerks to a halt at the jetway. I've never understood that. I understand it if you're in 1A and 1B, but you're in first class, you're in the front of the plane, they're taking care of you anyway. But if you're in 34B, all right, you're in a middle seat in the back by the poop, you know, where you can smell the stuff coming out of the blue stuff coming out of the door, despite the fact that it's closed, you're not getting off that plane for 40 minutes. And unless your name is Wilbur or Orville Wright and like you've only flown 120 feet in your life, all right, you should know by now that you're not getting off the plane. And the only thing you're going to do is stand and hit your head on the overhead bin while waiting for enough butt room to wiggle into the aisle. And now, by the way, this is nasty, but, you know, it must be said. When you're sitting on the aisle and the aisle fills up with the people who are the ones who want to get off, even though it's going to take them 40 minutes, do you know what you smell like to the people who are still seated? You've been in the center seat on an Allegiant Air flight or Spirit Airlines for 5.5 hours, and now you're sprung up, and now your butt is at nose level to everybody sitting around you. It's not pretty. And this is probably why you're seeing so much violence on planes. But they're going to keep doing it as long as they have the really crazy system of putting people on these planes, which now United Airlines, it's United, isn't it? I believe it's United. They've come up with a new system where they're going to let Delta Airlines, excuse me, I was giving credit to the wrong people. They are letting the people who have, no, I was right. It was United Airlines. I apologize. United Airlines people have a new boarding process where the people in the window seats go in first, which makes a world of sense, doesn't it?
Yes.
Because they're the people that have to get out of the aisle the most. So get those people out of the aisle so that you don't put the middle seat and then the aisle seat people and then the guy in the window seat, which is always me, the guy in the window seat. And the reason I sit in the window seat is because it's one less person to irritate me, unless there's a man on the wing. But as a general rule, there isn't. But it really does make sense. And why has it taken them this long to figure this out? I mean, seriously, they've been doing this for 50 years. Anyway, small incremental changes, but we're still going to do it on this incredibly busy travel cycle between now and New Year's, between now and January 2nd. When zillions of people are going to be stuffed onto planes, spreading COVID right and left. Nobody's wearing the mask anymore. They've given up. And we're going to come back from Uncle Carl and Aunt Helen's place with a virus, a cramp, and stuff we don't want that we have to lug back with us from the other side of the country. All right, ladies and gentlemen, in the next hour, we are going to talk about the Colorado Supreme Court decision that would bounce Donald Trump from the ballot in the Republican primary in Colorado. And this is going to end up at the U.S. Supreme Court and the various issues that this raises. And also, hopefully, we'll get to talk about a bunch of other things, including maybe more about the Texas border enforcement and the signing of the highly coveted Japanese pitcher Yamamoto, who will be joining the highly coveted pitcher who came over from Tampa Bay. And also, obviously, the big fish, which was, Shohei Ohtani. What a team the Dodgers have. I don't know that I've ever seen a team as loaded going into spring training as this one. I mean, we don't even talk about Will Smith and some of the other players who are tremendously talented on that team.
They've spent over $1 billion
on three players. Three players, Tyler Glasnow and Ohtani. And now Yamamoto, three players, $1.1 billion tied up in those three players. Wow. Any parent who tells their kid they're playing too much baseball and they got to come home and hit the math textbook is out of their mind.
I hope my kid's a lefty.
Oh, baby. That is the dream, is a left-handed pitcher who can throw a strike. You'll play forever, number one. Jesse Orosco proved that. He was like 68. He was still playing, I think. All right, let's go get the very latest headlines from the 24-hour KFI newsroom. And here is Deborah Mark.
Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch, so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.